I believe it's sooner than any of us could imagine. Someday soon, I'm going to a meeting. Hallelujah. I get excited when I come to meetings. I was excited about coming to this Truth Camp meeting. But there's a day that's coming that all this excitement is going to pale in comparison for the meeting that I'm going to. The wonderful thing about this meeting is that I've got my life right now to prepare and get ready for it. How many's getting ready for that meeting right now? Some of y'all spent a lot of time getting ready for this meeting tonight. You went in and got showers, and boy, I'm glad you did. Aren't you girls glad that these guys got showers? Glad that they took the time to get ready for this meeting. I heard one little boy told me, he said, boy, they're mean to us here. He said, they made me shower before church. I said, man, I'm glad they're mean. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad that you and I've got time to prepare for this meeting. But the thing about this meeting is there is an appointed time, but we don't know the day or the hour. I want to be ready for this meeting. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, not a moment's notice. The trumpet's going to sound. Clouds are going to part. We're going to be staring Jesus face to face. I'm excited about this meeting that I'm going to. Amen. I want to be ready. I want to know that I had done my part. I want to know that everything that I have done, everything that was made available to me that I could use to help others to get there, I don't want to go to the meeting alone. Part of the excitement about coming to this meeting is who you're going to see. I've got people over there that I can't wait to see. I hope that you're there. Amen. I'm excited about going to heaven. I just enjoyed this meeting already. The morning preaching has been absolutely wonderful. Enjoyed this. The wonderful sermon was preached this morning by Brother Mark Sweeney. Just encouraged me and made us feel like going on, made us feel like putting on some weapons, made us feel like getting ready for the fight that is ahead of us. And I appreciate the burden that he came with this morning. I appreciate the opportunity that's been afforded us to get to come and preach here once again here this year. We just want the Lord to have his way. If it's all right tonight, once again, I want to get right into the reading of the Word of God. If you'd stand with me all over the room and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read a couple verses of Scripture. I appreciate your attentiveness. Thank you for the way you prayed last night. Let me ask you to do this. Let's make these services all about the altar call. I love the singing. I enjoy it as much as anybody. I love to hear singing. I love the preaching of the Word. But if all we did was enjoy the singing and hear the preaching, we have to act upon it. We have to put it into action. And that's what we need to do. We need to not just be hearers this week, but let's be doers of the Word. Amen. Let's get in around these altars and make this application in our life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you're there tonight, just say amen. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Let me go back to that again and just say, holy. That sounds, it's just got a dead ring in it. Because some of us, we just identify holiness with what we put on. But there's a lot to being holy. If God will help me preach before this is all said and done this week, if time affords, I want to preach and just address some things about holiness. But I want to read that again, just so you hear it in your ears, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many understands that what God asks of us is not unreasonable? Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be not conformed, he's simply telling us that we are to resist being poured into the mold of modern day thinking, of the modern day value systems, and the modern day conduct of this world. Simply put, stop conforming yourself to the world. We are not to look like them. We are not to talk like them. We're not to walk like them. There's not supposed to be anything about us that resembles this world that we're living in. Now the problem is there's so many of us that feel such pressure to fit in. Some of you would shout if you thought that that's what made you fit in. You'd go to the farthest, hardest thing that you could find, and you would do it to be accepted among your peers. But I've come to let us know that you and I are not supposed to fit in, because we ain't from here. I look at this, and I'm going to let you be seated in just a moment, but here's what I thought. Everybody's got the internet. We're a techno age. Everybody has a phone. Everybody's got access. Everybody's looking. And it seems like on every social media site that you pull up, doesn't matter if it's Facebook or it's Instagram or Twitter or whatever your brand is, I find that this statement keeps popping up everywhere. Everybody wants to know what's trending. And what you find is that it's senseless, stupid stuff that's continuously the new trend. I find that if you were to look in this world and start looking around, you'd find that the trends of today, if you were just to look at the headlines, you'd find that same-sex marriage is being passed. That's the new trend. It's being accepted. You'd find that people like Bruce Jenner wants to be called Caitlyn. Now, I'm going to say this with no respect because I have none. He's a stupid retard. I apologize to retarded people. But that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What's trending? Well, Bruce wants to be Caitlyn. You better not say anything about it. Matter of fact, he's courageous for it. He's not courageous. He's a pervert. It needs to be stated and said. The nation we're living in, you know what's trending in our day? Divorce. Broken homes. Children that don't know where mom and dad's at. What's trending today? Molestation. Sexual relations before marriage. Impurity, immorality. That's what's trending. But I've come to tell us, you and I were not supposed to be trend followers. We as the church are supposed to be trendsetters. If God would help me preach for just a little while tonight, I want to preach to us for just a few moments on what's trending. I want you to be real honest with this preacher and do a quick survey of your life. What's trending in you? Is there prayer time that's trending? Is there regular Bible reading that's trending? Is there victory that's trending in your life? Are you always down, depressed? Are you always looking for somebody to hold you up? What's trending in your spiritual life? I believe God's going to help us in this place tonight, because some of us need to set, establish, and begin a new trend in our life. I've come to preach to you, there's good news. You can. Doesn't matter how long you've established a pattern, tonight you can start a new one. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in this place tonight. Brother Tom Goodwin, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer as he begins to open up? Last night we got a little quiet as we listened to the young men pray up here. I'm asking you to lift your voice. The moment you hear him leading us to the throne, let's follow in behind him. And let's make sure we touch heaven for this service. Brother Tom Goodwin, lead us.
Thank God. Lord, I pray today that you would speak your word to our hearts. Lord, move upon us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, remove every distraction, any work of the enemy, and speak by the power of your Spirit. Father, loose every heart and loose every mind to be open to hear the word of God. Anoint our brother Hatfield with the supernatural power from another world. Father, just loose him. Hallelujah. Anoint him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless you. I've come to let us know right off the bat that if there's anything that's in you that just wants to fit in with the present day modern society, you need to once again take another trip to an old fashioned altar where the blood gets applied. Makes you understand that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and behold, all things become new. I've come to let us know that as a people of God, we are to be on the cutting edge of breaking the molds around us that the world is trying to set and to establish. Why would you say this? Well, because they are trying to conform the church they want us to fit. You'll find that they have approached us this way, young people. We're not against churches in America. I find that people like church. You'll find that everybody has a church. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter if you're a Scientologist or if you're a Buddhist. Everybody's got their place of worship, their place of gathering. They don't mind that you're different. They don't mind that you're somebody that maybe has your own belief or your own understanding. But can I tell you what they don't want you to be? They don't want you to be abnormal. They don't want you to be unusual. They don't want you to be supernatural. They want you to fit in with every other religion because everybody has their choice and everybody should have the equality of feeling like they're the same and they're as good as you. Can I tell us just simply put tonight that the fact is that when you become a child of God, you become a part of the upper crust of this nation. I know we like to look around and say we're all the same. We all may have been sinners at one time, but I'm no longer a sinner saved by grace. I am a child of God. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. And I've come to let us know as young people and old people alike, you are going to find that the world around you is offended just by the life that you present, by the God that you swear allegiance to, by the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you. The lifestyle that you live is going to be one that puts you on offense with the world, that puts you at an offense with those around you. I find the Bible backs it up and declares in James chapter 4, verse 4, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of the Lord. Can I declare to us tonight that there's no way for you and I to hold hands with the world and experience the power of the divinity of Jesus Christ? You can't have it both ways. You cannot be somebody that is accepted by everybody in the world. Can I tell you, the Bible also declares, yea, and all that will live godly will suffer persecution. You and I are going to suffer the persecution of the world that looks at us and hates the fact that we declare that we are from a heavenly place, that we have a Savior that died, and that this is the only truth that is going to stand for eternity. Can I tell you, God recreates us and God is a creator. So when He created you and made you that new creature, you've got to understand the new creature that you are is not going to fit any old mold that you used to be in. I find there's so many individuals that try to put on that same old coat and put it over the new man that God made them. You ain't gonna fit in that old coat. You ain't gonna fit in that old lifestyle. You're not gonna fit in the same realm of friends. You're not gonna have to serve notice on them. All you've got to do is live godly and they'll leave you. Somebody say amen. I find that this trend-setting generation, it seems like we are celebrating anybody that is on the edge, anybody that can take the common and make it uncommon, the usual and make it unusual. But can I declare to us as a church, I can tell even in the way that we worship, in the way that we respond. I want to make myself clear tonight. I heard as Brother Mark preached, and I agree 100%. There are many services that is hooping, hollering, running around, and those individuals that shouted the most will go right back out into a world and they will commit the same problems and the same deeds that got them in trouble the last time because they didn't implement nor did they get anything that was deeper than just a surface change and a surface emotion. But I will also add to and declare that if God changes your life and transforms you, there will be an utter exclamation that would declare, hey, I'm not what I used to be. The joy of the Lord is bubbling up on the inside of me, and it's more than what I can express with a Webster's dictionary. That's why every once in a while, somebody like Brother Byerly has to take a lap around the church as we sing about putting the devil under our feet and declaring that he is a defeated foe, because we know where we was. We knew how helpless we were in the natural. We knew how existing our flesh was and how simply helpless we were without his spirit. But when God put that brand new spirit within us and gave us victory, it was more than just a hallelujah. It was more than just a raising of the hands. I found out I got eternal life, and it made me want to jump up and down. I found out that I was lost, but now I'm found, and it made me want to praise the Lord. I found that I was dead, but now I have been given life that is more abundant, and it made me want to declare, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For too long, we as the church have allowed the world to set the trends that we follow. I believe that when the Bible declared to not be conformed to this world, now we live in a world that has gotten churchy and a church that has gotten worldly. And so now I have to preach to us not just to come out from among the world. I have to tell us to come out from among the church world. Because the trend today is no rejoicing. The trend today is to modernize and fit in. The trend today is to not offend anybody. And we have now got existing patterns that are in the church that are a resemblance of the trends that we find within the world. I've asked a few young men to help me tonight. I'm going to just do a few simple illustrations while I preach. I'm going to do this tonight, but I want you to take your eye or your attention off what's being said as some of these young men get ready to help me. I find that there's one trend I want to preach about for just a moment. I find that this is an out of control individual. This individual is one that you don't even want in your youth group. They are what I would consider and explain as this. They're a car wreck. They mess up everything they get around. They destroy everything they touch. They can walk into a perfectly good youth group and they will utterly destroy it. They mess everything up. Some of you have already identified individuals, young people in your church, that they are simply out of control. Their lives is a wreck. They are a mess. They seemingly can't make it. Some of you young people know who that is. That individual that is always seemingly on drugs. That individual that is seemingly always slipping around and sipping a little bit of booze. They'll come to youth camp. They'll try to shout. They'll try to pray. But their life is always an utter distraction and a mess. Can I tell you, it's not just that car wreck individual, but I find that there's others that they try to do well, but they never seem to be able to gain their footing. I call this individual the chronic stumbler. They do their best to walk. They get around, but just to fall down again. They pray through one Sunday just to fall back into a pit of despair on Monday. They are always a dependent and never dependable. Somebody say amen. They're that individual that always needs the extra boost. They always need a little help. They are that individual that they always need a helping hand, somebody to lean on, somebody's shoulder to cry on, somebody that they can tell all their problems to. They are an individual that feel like they cannot stand on their own. I find it's not just the car wreck, it's not just the stumbler, but I like to call this one the extreme in and out individual. It's that bipolar Christian. I got a friend that's a pastor, and he said, I got a man in my church that he'll come in and get up, take over the service with a testimony, and be mad because there ain't nobody worshiping the Lord and raising their hands. He'll set the church on fire, and then he'll miss 3 Sundays in a row. It's that bipolar Christian, that one that you never know how they're going to show up. Is it the spiritual Christian or is it the carnal man? Is it that one that's going to come in and they're going to be full of faith and hope and fire? Or is it going to be this Sunday that they're mad, depressed, and upset with everybody in the church? Can I tell you what is ruining our generation? It's this type of Christian right here, that they're undependable, they're wishy-washy, they're up and down. They never seem to be able to make it. They're bipolar. You don't know if they're going to be dependable. You don't know if they're going to be there for their class. You don't know if they're going to be there to show up for work day. There's nothing about them that says integrity. There's nothing about them that says you can depend on them. They are that individual that is almost schizophrenic. They're loving God one moment and everything is speaking to them. They hear the dog bark and God might be speaking to them. They're uber spiritual, but the very next day, you'll find them doing things that are utterly disgraceful to the name of God. We need a generation that will stand up and declare, I'm tired of the in and out. I'm tired of the trend in my life that has left me somebody that is always needing prayer. God help us to abolish this trend in the church. I'm saying this about young people, but you know how we got this way? Moms and dads, can I say this before I go any further? Young people, you understand this. We may be a generation that is messed up. We've been called everything in the book. We are the millennials. We are, I've been called the X and the Y and the Z generation. But can I tell you, you look around at the dead church world we live in and understand this. This is not your fault. You didn't produce this church world we preach to. Can I say that again? It ain't your fault that your church is dead. It ain't your fault that you don't feel the power of God. It ain't your fault that you walk in a place where it seems like many times the atmosphere is stifled. It's because there's a generation that has cared less about this next generation. And we don't care. We've got our mind too distracted on the world and chasing the things of life. And our hearts have grown cold. But I've come to tell us it's not too late to start a new trend that says we're going to make something. We're going to pave a new road. And if God tarries, there'll be a good place that the generation behind us, that they can follow and say, I see where they've been. I see how they've lived. I see what they've done. God help us to affect this generation. It's not just a car wreck. It's not just the chronic stumbler. It's not just that bipolar man. It's one of the most dangerous. It is the Christian blenders, aka brother pretender. They can fit in anywhere. They can look like anyone close. They almost look exactly alike. They fit in wherever they go. If they need to be worldly this week, they can be worldly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If they need to expose their body, get half naked and dance around like the world does, they can do that. Or if they need to come in here this week and be holy, they know the proper time to raise their hands. They know when to shout hallelujah. They know when to say amen. You'd never know they weren't saved in youth camp. Can I tell you, just because you go under the radar of any preacher, and just because you go under the guise of nobody knowing what's really going on deep down inside of you, I've come to tell you that is a trend that will lace you up and bind you in hellfire for eternity. There's a whole generation of individuals that came out under the guise of Israelites, came out of Egypt under the guise of those that were called out and delivered, but they were delivered and brought across a Red Sea just to die in a wilderness because they really, when it came down to it, still had a heart for the world that they left. And I've come to preach to us as a generation, if we don't love where we're going more than what's behind us, we're going to end up going going right back where we used to be. This generation of pretenders that will shout with you, that will sing with you, that seemingly you can't tell. And oh, what a surprise it is when all of a sudden the real them begins to come out. What is going on? I've come to tell you that we are following the trends of the world. We have allowed the world's trends to creep in to the church. But can I say this again? You and I, it was preached this morning, were called to be a standard bearer. We were to carry the flag that declared who we were and who we stood for. We, the church, are to be the trend setters, setting a standard for the world that we live in. Can I declare to you that the standard has been set? The question is, are you up to his standard? We are living in a world that is being flooded with immorality. We are being flooded with sin. We are being flooded with hate, with bitterness. We're living in a church world that is flooded with pride. But as I begin to think about the flood that is in our nation, can I simply declare to you again that this scripture comes to mind in Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Can I declare to somebody in a world that's being flooded and much of the church is being washed away, we can set a new trend that says, yes, the storm has breached my walls and has crept into my church, but I'm still here. I've not been washed away. I've not changed. I've not let it alter me. There's a standard that has been raised around me, and I've survived the trends of this day, and I'm setting a new trend of victory that says you don't have to go that way. You don't have to live that life. You don't have to be a part of the falling away. God, help us to set a trend of revival in these days. Standard has been raised. What is the trend, preacher? Overcoming. How many would be honest and say this? There's been too many years I've come to camp and I've left underwhelmed. I came looking for victory. Thought I got it. I ran and shouted, cried, just to go back home. Find the same chains that bound me when I left were waiting for me when I got there. He said, preacher, I'm going through a storm. I'm doing everything that I can. Can I give you this explanation? Just because the storm comes to you does not mean the standard has not been raised around you. Will you stay with me just for a few moments? I find the Bible declares to us in this, in Luke chapter 6, there's one of the very best explanations of what a Christian life should look like. Jesus gives us this parable in Luke 6 and 46. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Herein lies a secret, young brethren and sistren. Why is it that brother so-and-so fell out of church? Why is it that sister so-and-so backslid? It was because they had to guise and they had a display of everything looking okay. But though they said yes to the commitment, their life never followed through. Can I say this to some of us? It's not about coming to this altar saying yes to the commitment. It's about when we leave these grounds. It's all about the follow through. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house
cross was great. We are living in a day where the trend has become, we are losing people in our churches, not because the word of God is not powerful, not because it's not being preached, not because there's not anointing that it's been laced with, but because we have a generation that has accepted the trend that I'll put up the shutters, I'll make sure the roof looks the same, I'll paint it the same color, and I'll make sure the house looks just like everyone else in the church community. But when the storm comes, you find that everything that they've declared that they have been has been a ruse and has been a fake and a false look and a false fake habit. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's those that have said, I'll accept a form of godliness, but we have denied the power thereof. God, give us individuals that say, I'm not just coming to the altar to be accepted by those around me, but God, help me to dig out a foundation that can stand and say, no, I'm not here because I've never had a storm. Oh, I wish some of you would understand what this preacher's preaching to you. If you only knew where I've been the last 5 years and the judgment and the problems and the persecution I've had to face because of certain stands that I've took in my life. Many would look and say, boy, it looks like you're blessed. God's treating you good. Everything seems to be just right in your life. But I've come to utterly declare to you, I'm not here because I've not faced a storm. I'm not here because I've not had to fight the devil. I'm not here because the adversary has not been breathing down my neck. I'm here because through every storm, through every devil, through every demonic force that has come against me, I have had a foundation that my feet have been on. You say, what's trending in your house? The storms are coming. The storms are going. But I'm staying. I'm staying. I'm establishing a new trend. It's victory. It's victory. It's victory. It means I'll face things. I'll go through battles. But I'll make it because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I can make it. I can set a new trend. I don't have to be like the world. I'm not giving up. I'm going through. This new trend that needs to be set is one of commitment of the heart. Commitment of the heart means that I'm not putting conditions on my commitment to God. I'm not just going to say, God, if you'll bless me, I'll live for you. But an unconditional surrender that says, no matter what comes or goes, I'm going with Jesus just the same. I'm going on with Jesus just the same. They may false accuse me. Brother Mark said it this morning. You're going to have to learn to take some stuff. And that's probably the part I had to pray about the most. I'm the kind that you don't smack me. I don't like to take stuff. I'm just going to say, by the way he preached this morning, I don't say he does either. We don't like to take things. But you're going to have to learn to take things for the cause of Christ. And stand up and look at this world and say, you can say whatever you want to say about me. My decision has been made. I'm not changing who I am because of what you say. You can false accuse me. You can scandalize my name. But I'm going on with Jesus just the same. What's trending at your house? Storms have come. Storms have gone. But I'm better. I'm not bitter. I'm not hanging by a thread. I'm prevailing in victory. I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want to get this point across. Oh, Brother Car Wreck, come on, Brother Tom, get ready to come help me up here, brother. You know what the Bible says to the car wreck? To those that's made a mess out of their life, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Those that have made utter messes of their life, he just gives them a simple command. Go and sin no more. What about those that seemingly can't get their footing and they seem to stumble everywhere they go? I find that he looks at those individuals and he says, hey, guess what? You don't have to continue to stumble, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. I'm trying to excite some of you and make you understand that the trends that you have been following because of your forefathers, God knows that this world has left trends for us to fall into, ruts so deep that you can lose your life in them, problems so deep that it emotionally distraughts you and makes you feel like you're all alone. But I've come to tell you, it doesn't matter how bad you've been, God can make a bad man a good man and let him know, hey, look, I'm going to order your every step. And what used to feel uncertain, what used to feel like a questionable action, you can step up and you can put your foot down. Go ahead, say it, Brother Tom. I need that microphone. Somebody give him that microphone real quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody help me out right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I gave it to the wrong Brother Michael Tom. I gave it to Brother Tom Goodwin. Just help me just a moment, brother. How many was here last year when Brother Michael Tom preached a message on... put your foot down. That's what he told us last year. He let us know that we didn't have to remain the same, that we could put our foot down, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. To that bipolar Christian that is in and out, this is what God has come to let you know. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by rivers of living water. You don't have to be in and out. You don't have to be plucked up by the roots, continually dying. But you can set a new trend that says, I'm going to let God plant me deep next to the water. That's going to keep me alive for the pretender that's always blending in. God has come to let you know that he's called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And he's come to let you know ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. God, help us to put our foot down, to establish a new trend, to say, I'm going to live my life in a manner that God's blessings are always before me and that his reward is always behind me. I find that we used to take the cue from our elders. They would go before us, God giving them promises. God giving them promises. I'm almost done. Stay right there with me. I find that God made them trendsetters. Men such as Abraham, that he called him out from among his kindred, his tribe, and his people. And he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you more children than you can count stars in the sky. I find that Abraham becomes an old man before he ever gets one child. But God gives him an emphatic promise in Genesis chapter 13. He says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth thereof it, for I will give it unto thee. He was saying, wherever the sole of your foot begins to put on this earth, I'm going to give it to you. I wish instead of receding, instead of backing up, instead of giving in, somebody would put your foot down and say, I'm not going back. I'm going further. I'm claiming more ground. I'm not going to be what I was, but I'm going to become more than what I am. By God's faith, I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to set a new trend. I'm going to claim a new promise. I'm going to have more Holy Ghost. I'm going to have more of his blessing. I'm going to live in more of his glory. I'm going to seek the gifts of the Spirit, because I'm setting a new trend in my life. Somebody needs to put
your foot down.
Say amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm almost done. How many times do I get to say that, Brother Mark? It's different for evangelists, right? I find this same man goes walking through the land. But all of a sudden, this man that has a hard time with God fulfilling his promise, he messes up, makes a mistake. He not only becomes a liar about who his wife is because of how pretty she is, He becomes somebody that tries to step in God's miraculous plan and help God out, because God doesn't seem to have the ability to follow through with his promise. Because he ain't got a seed yet from Sarah, he creates with Hagar Ishmael. He creates a mistake in his life that grows up to sit back, and when his miracle arrives, we see one of the greatest problems. It's the mistake mocking the miracle. The mistake didn't keep the miracle from arriving. The miracle still showed up, but your mistakes will sit back and mock your miracle. Ishmael mocked Isaac. Here's what I've come to tell you. It didn't keep Isaac from
putting his foot down.
Put his foot down. I find that Isaac's got the same problem as Abraham. He's still claiming promises, walking around, walking in the promise of his father. But he struggles. He entreats God for his wife, and they have two sons, Jacob and Esau. God chooses Jacob in spite of his lying, deceiving ways. But of all the problems Jacob has, the thing that he doesn't have any problem with is procreation. He's broke that curse. Grandpa and Daddy couldn't hardly make a boy, but he's got 12 of them. And guess what? They're all living in the same promise as great-grandpa. Now it's not just Abraham laying his foot down, claiming land. Now there's 12 boys, and there's Daddy, and there's Grandpa. And everywhere they go, they're just putting their foot down, saying, I'll take that, and I'll take that. I'll live here, and I'll live there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I find that all the way, you can find that their footing leads them all the way to a place that's called Egypt, where they live in bondage for over 400 years. But God calls them out of there. And one of the first things that happens is they come out into the wilderness and they put their foot down all the way across the Red Sea. They're setting a trend. You know what they're doing? They're establishing a pattern for the generations behind them. They are telling and rehearsing to every new child that's being born, this is the promise that God gave our father, that whatever our feet begin to touch, we could have. Hallelujah. I find that they find themselves in a wilderness, seemingly trapped in. They walk around it for 40 years until there's a new generation that now stands at the foot of Jordan, looking at waters that they seemingly can't cross. And the thing God tells them and reinstitute a promise, he says, tell the priest to step out into the water. You ain't got to raise your rod this time. You just got to claim your stake. You got to set a trend. Follow the trend of Abraham. They step into the water, and the water begins to part hither and thither. They come across. They look at Jericho. You know what most of us would do? We try to knock down the gate. We'd grab a battering ram and try to knock down the door. Not these young men and women. They follow the commandment of the Lord and the trend that has been set before them, and they just put their foot down all around Jericho. They did it for 6 days until the seventh day. They kept putting, oh, you got to hear me. They're still putting their foot down until the walls came crumbling down. You say you sound like you're just rehearsing what was already preached. I've come to tell somebody that's the trend that I want to follow. I want the trend of obedience that brings the victory. I want to establish a trend that says I'll follow God's command, no matter how silly or audacious it may be. I believe the walls of the world are coming down. I'm setting a new trend. Why are you walking? Why are you shouting? I'm not just shouting. I'm not just walking. I'm trend setting. I'm trend setting. I want to live like this. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. No greater trendsetter than Jesus Christ. He looked at blind people, just shoved some mud in their eyes and said, go wash it out. How many people you reckon just for kicks and giggles that were blind ever just tried to go back to that spot he touched the dirt and rubbed some in their eye? How many people you ever reckon just raised their voice to God, called on the name of the Lord and thanked him, began to break bread, hoping for multiplication? How many pastors you ever found went ahead and just followed the trends of getting down on their prayer bones and prayed until people started coming in that they didn't even know, saying, I got to know salvation and I got to experience God? We can follow in these footprints, establishing a trend that the devil hates. As we establish this pattern and follow the example of Christ, we find that what Jesus did was he casted out devils. He raised the dead. Now, I'm not just being silly here tonight, but can I tell you, if we would really just get the faith that we ought to have, walk up in some places where those have died, say, God, for your glory and not for any other reason, bring them back for the world to see that this trend is not dead. You know why we still anoint cloths and send them to houses? Because somebody set a trend a long time ago that said, you know what, we can't get to everybody's house, but we can pray over some cloths and everybody can take them somewhere. God can heal. What is this trend that God has established before us? I tell you, he's healing bodies, saving souls, raising the dead, casting out devils. What is this trend? You'll find in this a trend of dominion and authority that takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where he utterly looked at the very first man that ever walked the earth, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Can I declare that if the devil is moving in our direction, we have dominion through the authority and the power that God has given us? I say we establish the trend of old that resists him and makes him want to flee. When you resist the devil and he flees, he ain't just walking away. He ain't just cursing under his breath, but he knows, if I don't get out of here, something bad's about to happen to me. Let it be said of the church again that we possess such power that demons are trembling and the devil is fleeing, because we are setting a new trend that says, I will not fear, I will not be afraid what men can do unto me, but I will follow him that has blazed the trail before me, and I will live in the victory that he has made. God help us as young people to set a new trend of praying long in the older, of getting the Holy Ghost, and 6 months later still being full of it, seeking for the gifts of the Spirit, adding to the church daily such as should be saved, walking in victory, living in power, putting our foot down, establishing a new trend. Help us, church, to be a trend that establishes that Jesus is still on the throne, that he's still in control. You are to be the opinionated trendsetters that lets the world know that Jesus Christ is still alive and well. Stand with me all over the church. I'm setting a new trend. I'm pure and I'm proud. Did you hear me, young ladies? Let's establish a new trend in 2015. I'm pure and proud. If you can be gay and proud, then I can be holy and proud. Don't let this world establish the trend. Gay and proud. They ain't taking my rainbow and can try to claim all the different things that, oh, that's our rainbow. Now that represents us. It never did represent you. It represented the fact that God sent a flood to judge this earth, but he promised us that the next time he did it, he'd send hellfire and brimstone. Can I tell somebody in this place, you can't have my rainbow. It's the promise that keeps me from dying in the flood. I claim every promise that is within this world, and I am setting a trend that says I'm going to live. I'm going to preach. You can throw me in jail, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to recede. What I know is right. I'm establishing a new trend, and that is one of the church possessing the power and the authority in this world. How do we do it? It's through this word and the Holy Ghost, and the Son of God that came, shed his blood for us. We'll say this, and we're going to pray. We're not going to establish any trends in ourselves. You're not going to establish it just because you got mind over matter. You're going to establish a trend because you got Jesus in your heart. He sits on the throne making the decisions of your life. The new trend that I'm setting this year is less of me, more of you. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. My wife's coming to this piano. We're getting ready to pray. I've come to ask some of you to be real honest with this preacher. How many would honestly be able to say that the commitments that I made last year in this youth camp, I have held true to them? I haven't stumbled. I haven't faltered. I haven't failed. I haven't messed up. I ain't made a mistake, preacher. If most was honest right here within this very room, there's been things that if you could go back and change them. I'm not just talking about mistakes. I'm talking about sin. Sins. That you've had to have the grace of a God applied to your life again so you could stand before us tonight free from condemnation, because somewhere between last year and this year, you allowed the world to set a trend in your life that has got a hold of you. For young men, many of you, if you'd be honest, there's a trend of looking at things that you shouldn't look at. We'll keep it PG in here tonight if that's okay, because it's mixed. For some of you young ladies, there's things that you gave up and said, God, I'm not going back to that. But just to fit in, you've allowed new trends to come into your life. It's taken place of the glory and the power of God that you marched around this church with, proclaimed victory, speaking in tongues. There's some of us, whether we want to admit it or not, there's a difference in the atmosphere in this room this year than last year. God's blessing, God's moving. But some of you used to worship with greater intent of getting in his presence. Some of us used to raise him higher. But something else has taken place of that desire in our life. There's been a new trend that's been set in us that has allowed us to chase the immoralities of this world. But I've come to let us know that doesn't have to be another day in your life. Because of the power that's in the blood, the promises that are in his word, there's not a person in this room tonight that can establish a new trend. Some of you come from families and home lives that it'd probably be hard for some of us that was raised in Christian homes to understand the things you go through and the problems that you face, the temptations that you have at your fingertips. But I've come to tell you, it doesn't matter your environment. There's a God that will undergird you with his hand. He'll be a fence round about you. And when that enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise that standard just for you all by yourself. He'll help you establish a new trend in your life. Some of you left with a commitment of following God into a new, deeper calling, a greater ministry. But you're back here this year. Something else has taken the place of that. I'm asking us tonight as young people, don't think about anybody else in your church. Don't blame anybody else. I know I've given us the fact that we may not have produced this generation. We may not have produced what we have. But from what happens from here on out, you've known the truth. And now it's up to you to make the difference. You hold the key to your service at your church. You hold the key to the victory in your life. It's time for you to set a new trend. God, I preached what you put on my heart. God, I am not eloquent with words. I don't have any special way of doing this. But God, I know that you have an anointing that reaches where my words cannot. I'm asking tonight that your anointing would break the yoke, that there would be a new trend that was set in these lives. A trend of victory, God, a trend of your power, a trend of your glory, taking the place of every weakness, of every instability. God, make us strong. God, I pray for those that don't have the Holy Ghost. God, help them to set a trend of seeking it. And once they receive it, God, to put it into operation and to seek the gifts of the Spirit. Make a difference in their church, in the atmosphere where they live. God, I pray that you would make us trendsetters, not trend followers. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to ask you right now, if there's someone here tonight would say, preacher, I have an abnormal burden. I have more than just a desire to serve God. But there's something in me that God's calling me to a higher height. I believe he's wanting me to do deeper things. He wants me to go deeper in him. I know that God's got a plan for me that's more than just sitting on a pew, more than just going to a church house. And I have in the past made commitments to that calling, but there's been other things take the place of that. I've allowed other things to get in the way. I'm asking some of you come first. There's some that already come into this altar. But there's some, I believe, I've watched some of you pray around these altars. I've watched some of you young ladies come with such a burden praying for one another over the past 3 years. And I haven't quite seen that yet this year because trends have been developing in our life. But it's time to establish a new one, to set a new trend. Come on, let's set a trend of Holy Ghost fire. Let's set a trend of wet altars. Let's set a trend of weeping again, letting God move and establish us. Would you do it? Come on, let's find us a place to pray. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Let's become a trend-setting generation. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God.
Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord,
come on, young people, come on. Come on, make a commitment with the heart.
Until my dying day,
I'm establishing a new trend.
Others find a way. At your mercy, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Oh, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy.